1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk, is proud to bring you The Rick Chamberlain Show. The Rick Chamberlain Show is brought to you by
Bud Light, America's favorite light lager. Milano's Pizza Subs and Taps, creating delicious memories since 1969. On Brown Street, near the University of Dayton campus, Premier Health is proud to be the official healthcare provider for UD Athletics. Learn more at premierhealth.com/sportsmed. And by Logan AC and Heat Services, the official heating and cooling partner of the UD Flyers, helping fans stay comfortable all season long.
Here's the voice of the Flyers, Larry Hansgen, and University of Dayton head football coach, Rick Chamberlain.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's been a while. Here we are for the first Rick Chamberlain Show of this Flyer football season, having missed all of 2020. Last time we talked to you was at the end of the 2019 season, which Dayton wrapped up an 8-3 campaign. Last year, things were wiped out due to COVID. And here we are with a brand new season ahead of us as the Dayton Flyers are going to be taking on Eastern Illinois this coming Saturday in what will now be the home opener and the season opener, as this past Saturday's game against Robert Morris was canceled due to COVID in the Colonial program. We've got the Dayton captains with us here tonight, seniors Brandon Easterling, Jack Cook, and also Jake Chisholm. And then, of course, we're going to be talking to them. And, of course, the coaches here, Rick Chamberlain and Rick. It's been a challenging 18 months for you. When you look back, there was no and you're a preparation guy. You're a guy that has a playbook. You didn't have a playbook, did you?
Larry, it was one of those years in which you make a lot of adjustments. You have a plan, but then you'd have to adjust. You'd have to pivot to something else. And you couldn't get frustrated. You couldn't get upset. You just had to look and see, okay, what do we do now? And the best part is, in the environment that we're in at the University of Dayton with the young men that we have, those adjustments went smoothly. That the support was there, the backing, all that we would need to make it as easy as possible throughout these past few months.
So take us, if you could, I mean, you know, last year the fall was wiped out. You did some stuff in the fall. Winter came around. Some of the PFL teams decided to play. Some did not, including the University of Dayton. So when spring arrived, and did you try to approach this past spring and make it a, quote, normal spring for you?
We did, Larry, and in the fall, we got in 14 practices just before Thanksgiving break. So we got a few days in full pads, so we had some 11-on-11, some true kind of contact football. Then through the winter, we did our normal weightlifting and conditioning, got that all accomplished. And then when we hit the spring, it was a spring practice, learning the playbook, learning your positions, your techniques, all those things. But it had a little different ending to it in that the NCAA allowed you to play opponents outside of your own school in the springtime. And so we had the opportunity to play Ashland. They came down. We had as close a game as possible. But the main emphasis was to get that experience of playing at game speed and seeing guys in action there.
Then the summer arrives, and the players report the first week in August. Did some type of normalcy then begin to set in?
It did. All at once, here we are. We're up at 7, going to bed at 10 o'clock at night with a full day of football. Of meetings, of practice, of walkthroughs, weightlifting. It did. It felt good. You were tired, Larry, but you felt good about that tiredness that you had.
All right. We're going to be talking more about the preparation for this season, what this Dayton football team is going to look like on the field. Also a preview of Eastern Illinois coming up on Saturday. But as we mentioned, the Flyers captains are with us. They're no strangers to Dayton football fans, and they're no strangers to the Rick Chamberlain Show, with the exception of Jake, who's on for the first time. So We'll begin with a veteran of the show and a veteran who's been out there on the field since day one as a freshman, Brandon Easterling. For the people who maybe don't know about you, give us your background and what brought you to the University of Dayton low those many years ago.
Yeah, so to start off, I'm from Fairborn, Ohio, a local kid. I'm studying MIS with a minor in cybersecurity management. You know, really what brought me to the University of Dayton, I think, is a pretty common answer between a lot of the team, which is the people. You know, being local, you would think I had a familiarity with the University of Dayton, and surprisingly, I didn't. And then the coaches reached out to me, got me here on an official visit. Tim Simon was my host, showed me around the team, let me meet the guys, obviously met the coaches. And it just kind of was one of those things. It's just like I feel welcomed here. It was a place that I saw I could really grow and, you know, reach my full potential, and kind of the rest was history.
All right. We're going to learn more about what Brandon has accomplished so far in his Flyer career. Another accomplished player is Jack Cook out of Cranberry Township, Pennsylvania. And refresh people, Jack, about what brought you to become a Flyer.
Yeah, like you said, I'm from Cranberry Township, Pennsylvania, and what really got me coming to Dayton was I was fortunate enough in high school to have an ex-player who played for the Flyers coach me my senior year. His name was Nolan Armada. I think he graduated around 2015. He kind of like took me under his wing my senior year, got me in contact with the coaches here. I went and saw Dayton play Duquesne at Duquesne, and then I ended up coming on an official visit here, so that kind of got the ball rolling on that part. But then, like Brandon said, and what Jake's probably going to say, and what a lot of guys say, what really attracted me here was the players and just like the sense of a community on campus here. I mean, once I had my visit and met the guys and was able to walk around and just kind of like be a part of the team for that day, that weekend, I just kind of knew it was this was the place for me to come.
All right. And Jake, new to the show, but not new to Dayton football, having a major mark already and with a lot of good things yet to come. What brought you to the University of Dayton?
Yeah, I'm being from Union, Kentucky, I wasn't really too familiar with the university. I'd heard of it. I'd known about it just through sports on ESPN and stuff. But nobody really from my area had gone here, and except one guy in my class, he came. He's actually still here. His name's Ryan Clements. And he was committed to golf here, and he's still on the golf team, still golfs here. And that was like the first UD connection, like from my area, that I'd heard of. And Coach Fox reached out to me and recruited me through Twitter. I came on a visit. Absolutely loved the campus, loved the guys. Jack Cook was my host on that official visit. Showed me around, and I loved the place. Biggest thing I thought too was their academics here that really drew me in. And then the football just took it over the top. Coming to a program that has a history of winning, it was something I wanted to be a part of.
We're going to learn more about what these guys have done and what their future holds, and it's a bright one for all of them. And Rick, before we go to the break, though, obviously, okay, they wanted to come, but you had to say, all right, we want you to come. Is there a common thread that runs through these guys that you, when you look back to that initial contact with them, that made you think, okay, these guys could be Flyers?
Larry, we've always said in our recruiting process, there's a certain type of individual that we want in our program. We call them UD guys. When we're recruiting, I talk to a coach, that's one of my questions. I said, is he a UD guy? Does he have the characteristics that we know works here? And what those characteristics are is leadership, accountability, academically very strong, and competitors. That's what we want. And so when we can find those individuals like these three, we're going to really step up the pressure to try to get them here.
All right. These guys check the boxes, and the Flyers are fortunate to have them here in a season ahead with a lot of things yet to be done. Yet to be accomplished. We'll dig into that, and we continue. This is the Rick Chamberlain Show. Yeah, we're finally back. We're finally here, and we are live at Milano's on Brown Street.
The Rick Chamberlain Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk. You're listening to The Rick Chamberlain Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO. Here's the voice of the Flyers, Larry Hanskin.
And welcome back to Milano's here on Brown Street. They got their Oktoberfest menu up and running, so make sure you check that out. Great place to come for and after a Flyer game on a Saturday. Really, any day of the week, great place for lunch, and obviously Monday nights here for the Rick Chamberlain Show. Our first of this season, our first in a while, as Dayton football is back, but not without a hiccup to begin this season. Yep. Coach, I stopped by your office Friday morning to do our pregame preparation for the game against Robert Morris on Saturday, and I said, "How you doing?" And you said, "Not good." And I told these guys before you got here, my initial thought was Jack, Jake, or Brandon are hurt. So when you said the game was canceled, I was kind of relieved.
You put it that way, Larry, most definitely. Yeah, I got into the office about 8 o'clock, and about 8:30, in walks Neil Sullivan, our AD, on the phone. And I can hear him talking, and he walks in, and I'm looking at him, and I'm saying, this isn't good. And I heard a part of his conversation and so forth, and then once he hung up, and he was talking to the AD at Robert Morris. He said, I got my coach right here. I'll talk with him, and we'll go from there. And then Neil shared with me, they had an uptick in their positives in COVID Thursday. It was a uptick there, and their coach then called me, Coach Clark, Bernard Clark, and he told me, he said, Coach, it just out of the blue, we had this large number come up. They actually had their buses in front of their athletic building to get on it and to head to Dayton, but the administration just said the percentage was too high and that they were not going to be able to go.
Without getting into all the specifics, can you give the listeners some type of idea? What type of sacrifices have your players made over the last 18 months and continue to make to be able to continue to play and play this week against Eastern Illinois?
A big part of it, Larry, was during the year that we didn't play any games, last year there, because these guys love to play football. They love to be out there, even though it's demanding, physically demanding, mentally demanding. They enjoy it out there, playing football and the physicality of it there. So we were doing meetings, doing weightlifting, doing some walkthroughs from basically September through November. And then, like I said, a couple weeks before Thanksgiving, we finally got out on the field to do some football. Well, then came back in the winter, started that. But at that time also then, all the testing had to happen, surveillance testing, where 25% of the team had to be tested randomly each week there. And so we had to go through that. And so these were times early in the mornings or whatever, but they had to work in those times. Very limited on how we can conduct meetings, how our weightlifting, they could share with you. It wasn't the same. It just wasn't the same energy that it provides with the closeness of the team there. So I felt like that was a sacrifice. But no one faltered. Everyone gave 100% all the time. We worked through it in the winter. Then in the springtime, the testing continued. And all those protocols, we still continued that. Again, no one complained. They just did it. Then they got home for the summer and preparing for summer camp. And it was a good thing when they came back in August, like we said earlier. A little bit more of a normal routine for them then, which was rewarding. But these young men still, they worked as hard as they would have any other summer to get ready for a season.
The captains are with us, including Brandon Easterling. And Brandon, with captaincy comes responsibility, but I don't think this is something that you ever thought you'd have to do as a captain, to try to keep a team together through all this. How difficult was it?
Yeah, not in a million years I would have ever guessed this would have been the situation that we would have had to have overcame. It's been difficult at times, but it's also been something that's been very rewarding. You know, just sitting here right now thinking about we're finally to game week is just overwhelming with emotion because of the sacrifice that we've made. You know, at the beginning of COVID, a lot of things were virtual, like Coach was saying, and I think out of all the times for me, that was the most challenging as far as being a leader because we take leadership classes here on the football team, and one big thing we talk about with being a leader is you have to have a relationship with whoever you're trying to lead. And it's not the easiest thing getting to know people and building a relationship through a computer screen. But overall, it's been difficult, but like I said, it's been rewarding, and it's definitely going to pay off Saturday.
How have the young guys responded to, you know, something that for some of them, this is the only thing they know. They don't know Dayton football any other way. Is that made it a little easier, Jack, with some of the brand new guys?
Yeah, I mean, like we always say, we have a lot of young guys and a lot of guys with no experience. And like the freshmen that came in last year, like this is their first time going through like a real camp, like going through everything like how we normally do it. So I guess they, like, you can't know what you don't know, and right now they don't know much. But I mean, everyone's just kind of been battling through it and getting by. And I think our team's done a great job, and we're just trying to get better every day.
You know, Jack, when you look to set an example, or not Jack, I meant Jake, when you look to set an example, you know, how much of it is just, okay, watch how I work instead of let me tell you how to work?
Mm-hmm. That's what I think, definitely one of the hardest challenges going through last year and through camp and everything was kind of that monotony of your practicing for a year. It was hard at sometimes for guys that find that motivation to go out and really practice hard when they knew they weren't practicing for a game coming up. So as a leader on the team, you really had to be accountable for going out and practicing hard every day and showing the guys that even though the game's not right around the corner, it'll be here. And it was here. It got taken away, obviously, but even this week, we got to keep working and work hard every day because we know we have a game coming up this week, and it's finally here. So I think that was the hardest part, was just working through all those practices where we knew we didn't have a game coming up, but we still had to go out and work hard because we had games coming up in the next year. So,
well, it is game week, as Brandon Easterling said. Dayton taking on Eastern Illinois Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock. More about that, more about these three Dayton captains as we continue. It is our initial Rick Chamberlain show for this Flyer football season, and we are live at Milano's on Brown Street.
You're listening to the Rick Chamberlain Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO. Here's the voice of the Flyers, Larry Hanskin.
And welcome back to Milano's on Brown Street, your home of the Rick Chamberlain Show on Monday night. The Oktoberfest menu is here just in time for a great fall and a great football season, which is upon us. Flyers not able to play on Saturday against Robert Morris due to COVID in the Colonials program, but now we'll be hosting Eastern Illinois this Saturday. One more non-conference game after that at Southern Illinois. And then the PFL opener will be against one of the new teams in the league, Presbyterian. That's on September 25th. You know, usually we'd be talking about the schedule and who's favored in the league and stuff like that. That kind of stuff just doesn't even seem to matter as much as, boy, the task at hand. And I think that when you don't know, they always say that tomorrow is not promised to you. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's really been underscored by the whole pandemic. So it's pretty easy for the guys just to be thinking about Eastern Illinois and nothing else.
That's right, Larry. And to really be thinking about each day, to make sure that we're taking advantage of each day, getting ready for that first game. Yeah, we're a long ways away from thinking about Southern Illinois or the PFL or who's doing what in the PFL, because we haven't had that first game yet. And that's what the whole focus is, because you know, Larry, that first game, that's your first opportunity to see what's your team made of, where are your strengths, where's your weakness, what do you need to improve on as you want to progress through the season, especially when you get into the conference play there. And that's why this game is so important to us, this first game. We didn't get it. We were ready for the Robert Morris game. Didn't happen. So now we have to readjust here and get ready for Eastern Illinois, which we're going to be at a disadvantage. And it's not just because of the talent that Eastern Illinois has, because they are talented, skilled positions especially. But they've got two games under their belt. And Larry, you've heard it said you improved the most between game one and game two. And they've had that opportunity to evaluate their program and see what do we have to get better at during these two games to help them continue on through the season there.
We have our three captains with us, Jake Chisholm, Jack Cook, and Brandon Easterling. And when they last were on the field, I really kind of see you guys' careers were on a precipice. You know, Brandon, you were coming off a year in which you led the nation in unassisted tackles, solo tackles, also led in takeaways, and you're heading into your senior year coming off that. Jack, you're heading into a senior year in which you led the nation in passing efficiency, and you're the active career leader in passing efficiency right now. Jake, you had your breakout year where you went from not being just a guy that's a kick returner, but you know, you're not only making plays from scrimmage, but you are coming off, I think, what, five straight 100-yard games to end your season? You don't know, okay. I'll take care of the stats. You guys stay humble, okay? But no, I mean, so you're on the precipice of maybe taking that next step forward, and then the rug got pulled out from underneath you. And you had decisions to make. Do I want to keep playing? And how difficult was that, Brandon?
For me, it was a no-brainer. I knew I wanted to play again. I'm a big believer in you get one shot at playing college football, and you know, football in general. And I think you should play until you physically can't play, or until somebody, you know, tells you you can't play. So it was an easy decision for me. And I think that's the case for a lot of the guys that came back. So,
Jack, what was your thought process?
Yeah, it was the same way for me. I didn't want to go out on that note with the season being canceled. And also, it was a really easy decision, and it helped that there were five other guys that made the same decision as me. And I'm just can't wait for this year to play this year. So, it was a really super easy decision, and I'm just ready to go.
Jake, I mean, when it comes to making decisions like this, you know, who's your board of directors? Who do you run these big life decisions past?
Definitely my parents first, and probably my older brother. I mean, it was an easier decision for me probably than them, because I'm still a true senior, still just fourth year senior. So I was gonna be here regardless. Obviously, wasn't going to be here regardless, I'd choose to come back to play. But I still had conversations, because my plan is to go to med school and everything. And even when we had the potential of playing back in the spring, I had to make a decision of I needed to take the MCAT. So I'm going to need to take the spring and study for the MCAT and take the MCAT in the spring. But I had conversations with my brother and my parents, and they basically told me to push that stuff back and play. I mean, because you never know when it's going to be your last play in football, and it was worth it.
Rick, this has got to be one of the most unique rosters you've ever coached, in that, you know, you've got tons of experience sitting here next to you at this table, and then there's an experience-wise, there's quite a drop-off then if you look down at the rest of the lineup.
Larry, I was talking with the captains here just the other day, and when you really look at it, we have three classes of players that haven't prepped for games. let alone play in them, but prep. Because our junior class, they were freshmen in 19. And to me, that's the biggest kind of shocker to me when I'm looking like at a Derek Willits. I remember Derek Willits out on the football field on the scout team his freshman year. Now, once Derek Willits is a wide receiver for us, getting ready to play each week, he's a junior now. That's the one that catches me, are those freshmen that are now juniors. I always say it goes fast, and these guys know it goes fast. But that year that we skipped, I think has really even accelerated it more to where now this young man, he's in his junior season. So you're asking the young men about their leadership and by example. We got to really weigh heavy on these guys for that leadership, for that example, how things are done. Because, like I said, there's three classes. They haven't prepped for games. And that's something new and different for them. But I'm glad to see our guys are catching up and getting ready and understanding what needs to be done.
In addition to some new faces on the field, you are going to have some new members of your staff in 2020. Well, they're still new members of your staff now, as they'll finally be up in the box and on the sideline come Saturday. Tell us about the new additions to your coaching staff.
Yeah, our coaching staff back in the winter of 2020 added two new coaches. Jim Collins is our offensive coordinator and our quarterback coach. Jim has a long history in college ball, was a head coach at Capital University, was the head coach at Saginaw Valley up in Michigan, a Division II school, and successful at both those. Jim is a Wittenberg grad, so he's very familiar with the Dayton program. And then he took a year and went to West Point as kind of their personnel director. And he did that for a year, but he missed on the field. And so when this position opened up, he called me, and with that kind of experience, why wouldn't I take him then? And then we have Josh Hendershot, who's our O-line coach now, who played at Toledo, coached at Toledo, and was a GA at Michigan just before he came here. And the nice thing about Josh, he was coached by a Flyer, Bill Franks, over at Newark Catholic. That's who was his head high school coach. So he's heard a lot about the Flyers there. And the other great thing about Josh, he was the one recommended by Austin King. When Austin was leaving us to go to the Raiders and we're looking for an O-line coach, he said, "Coach, this is the guy. This is who you want in this program." And I felt bad for Jim and Josh here because, like you said, Larry, they've been here since March 1st, but haven't got to coach their first game yet. But it'll happen. It'll happen this week. And then two young men that we hired just recently this past late spring, early summer, in Jordan Overton, our wide receiver coach, who played at the University of Buffalo, great career there, Cleveland young man. And then Mike Glass, who just graduated from Eastern Michigan. He was their starting quarterback, all-conference quarterback for them the last 2 years at Eastern Michigan. He's our GA that's helping Coach Minton with the tight ends.
All right. Well, that's there's a group of men who are anxious for their first game as coaches. There's a larger group that are anxious for their first game as Flyer football players, and that first game is coming up Saturday against Eastern Illinois, a 1 o'clock kickoff at Welcome Stadium. We'll tell you more about the Panthers. Also, we're going to learn some non-football stuff about our Flyer captains as we continue the Rick Chamberlain Show. We're live at Milano's on Brown Street.
The Rick Chamberlain Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk. You're listening to The Rick Chamberlain Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO. Here's the voice of the Flyers, Larry Hanskin.
Hey, welcome back to Milano's on Brown Street. You're home of the Rick Chamberlain Show, our first show of this season. We'll be here every Monday night through Flyer football season as Dayton will kick things off on Saturday against Eastern Illinois. More about that, but we have our three Flyer captains with us here, Jake Chisholm, Jack Cook, and Brandon Easterling. And Brandon and Jack have been down this road before. It's Jake's first chance to be on the program. So, Jake, tell us what you're studying at the University of Dayton.
I have my major here is pre-medicine, and then I have three minors, one in biology, chemistry, and then medicine and society.
Okay. One would presume you want to be a doctor.
Yes.
I'm really good picking up on those subtle clues.
Yeah.
All right, so obviously you've got a very heavy academic load. Football keeps you pretty busy. Mm-hmm. What's Jake Chisholm do to relax, have fun?
A lot of times I'm binge watching shows on Netflix or something. Like right now I'm watching Game of Thrones. Then we were watching that through camp. Whenever we'd get home from practice and have a little break, we'd watch Game of Thrones. Every now and then it's nice just to be able to lay on the couch and kind of turn your mind off and watch some TV. But other than that, I love working out. That's my other big thing. I love just going to the gym, and I think that's relaxing. I think it's therapeutic, and that's what I like to do a lot of my free time.
All right, so I'm sure Coach Toby doesn't have to push you too hard, does he?
No.
All right, Jack Cook, your major at the University of Dayton.
I'm a finance major.
Okay, with the thought of doing what?
To be honest, don't really know yet. I know my time's kind of kind of have to start thinking about that soon. But I'm either thinking about either going into sales, either like pharmaceutical or medical sales, or even getting into the coaching world. I mean, coaching is something that really interests me. I love football. I love being around the game. Even like the X's and O's really intrigues me about football. So that could be another option there too.
All right. And for fun?
Well, unlike Jake, me and Brandon have a lot of free time this semester with our little class load. So for fun, I really like to golf. Golf is one of my big hobbies, passion of mine. And other than that, just like watch TV, play Xbox, just really hang out with the roommates.
Okay. All right, Brandon, your major at the University of Dayton, you'd already said that.
Yep.
It's information technology.
Information systems.
Okay.
And cybersecurity.
Cybersecurity.
Yep.
I think there's going to be a need for that. I think that's probably
a
pretty good field to get into. But let's be honest, you have aspirations football-wise beyond this season at the University of Dayton.
Absolutely. It's kind of touching on what I said earlier. I'm a big believer, and I think you should play until you can't play anymore, until somebody tells you you can't. So it's definitely something I've always dreamed about, and it's something I'm going to continue to dream about and do my best to pursue.
All right. And for fun and relaxation?
Well, that's something that, like Jack said, I'm really starting to find with only one class this semester. So I would have to kind of piggyback off of him and say golf and then playing some video games and just kind of watching Netflix.
All right. Well, these guys have bright futures ahead of them, but for now, the future's Saturday, Eastern Illinois. And you've had a chance to look at this team, Rick. They've got two games under their belt. Narrow loss to Indiana State, and then they went down and had to play at South Carolina and got a little bit of a lopsided loss there. But what can you tell us about the Panthers?
What we're seeing, Larry, I mentioned earlier, it's skilled players. Scholarships, you would figure that would be, but their wide receiver crew is very talented. And plus they got a coach that knows the Dayton Flyers, Mark Fillmore, who was our wide receiver coach here for 2 years, and he's been there now 3 years. The coaching staff there at Eastern Illinois came from Northwestern. Coach Cushing, he was the tight end coach, assistant head coach there, and he brought a number of Northwestern type of coaches to that staff. And so you can see what they're trying to do there. And Coach Fillmore shared this with me, the culture that they're trying to build there, the idea of taking responsibility and being dependable. And they had a rough couple years, and they felt like this year they were going to be better, and they are. what I saw in that first game, it was one of those first game type of games for them, mistakes. They made mistakes. They could have won that game at Indiana State very easily, but some costly turnovers or missed opportunities late. They only lost by three there. So then they go to South Carolina, and just physically they were outmanned there. But the thing was, they kept playing hard. No matter what the score was, you could see it on the film there. So I know that they're going to come in ready to play. They know about the Flyers, like I said, with their coaching staff. They know what's the makeup. We're not going to surprise them. Larry, as you know, there's some teams we surprise that on paper they're looking at it going, Dayton, we'll be all right against them, and we catch them. That's not going to happen against Eastern Illinois. And as I said, they've had two games to work out the kinks there. We're going to make sure we do our business doubly focused to make sure that we don't have a typical first game with penalties, with turnovers, with mistakes. We can't, because the team we're playing, I don't figure on them being that type.
All right. Well, it all begins on Saturday as Dayton will open up this 2021 season at home against the Eastern Illinois Panthers. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff at Welcome Stadium. Pre-game coverage with Mike Kelly and me begins at 12:30 here on the home of the Flyers, and then we'll be back here next Monday night for our next edition of the Rick Chamberlain Show. On behalf of our engineer producer on site, Caleb McLeod, our captains, Jake Chisholm, Jack Cook, Brandon Easterling, and of course the coach, Rick Chamberlain, I'm Larry Hanskin. Have a great week, everybody. Go Flyers.
WHIO Dayton, WHIO FM Pleasant Hill, a Cox Media Group station from the CJSHeatingandAir.com studios. You call, we come. It's fixed.